Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Agriculture Report and Science in the News, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we report on the efforts of a university professor and her students in the southwestern state of Texas. They are trying to help families who have lost relatives on the border of the United States and Mexico.
It was very difficult for me at first to think about a mother not being able to watch her child grow up.
Then we report on the latest Global Hunger Index. It shows progress in some countries, but severe problems in others. And it tells about a hunger that cannot always be seen.
Hidden hunger is very different from the so-called visible hunger or undernourishment. Hidden hunger really means lack of micronutrients of vitamins in a person's diet.
Helping families of the dead in Mexico and the growing problem of hidden hunger in Africa and Asia. Those are our subjects today on As It Is from VOA. From January to September of this year, an estimated 230 migrants died trying to cross the border from Mexico into the United States. This number is from a new report by the International Organization for Migration. The organization says the number may be higher. The exact number of victims is not known. Their names are also not known. But as our Ana Mateo reports, a university professor in Texas and her students are trying to give closure to families who have lost relatives on the border.
Holding a human rib bone in her gloved hand, Baylor University anthropology professor Lori Baker notes signs of post-mortem damage done after death.
This would be indicative of vulture damage.
The bone is part of a skeleton, a set of bones. It was found in the lower Rio Grande River Valley of Texas, close to the Mexican border. People dying in the desert, their remains being eaten by scavenger birds, such as vultures, are realities of Ms. Baker's work. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security estimates that more than 6,000 immigrants have died crossing into the United States from Mexico in the past 15 years. Local officials have found hundreds of unidentified bodies in South Texas alone. They have buried them in mass graves in local cemeteries. Families have no bodies to bury, no graves to visit. To help them get closure, Professor Baker and her students have been digging up bodies to try to identify them. Families in Mexico and Central America have spent many years looking for lost loved ones. Often, officials say, immigrants carry no identification. If they die, they are gone without leaving a trace. A team of student volunteers helps Professor Baker. The volunteers take part in the hard, sad work of digging up bodies for the forensics. But they say they also share Professor Baker's sense of mission. The work can be not only physically hard, it can be emotionally hard as well. Jennifer Huzak is a recent Baylor graduate. She spent two summers working with Lori Baker in South Texas. She remembers that the most difficult time in this work came early on, when she examined the bones of a baby. Ms. Huzak says it was hard for her to think about the work. At that moment, the bones had a family story connected to them.
It was very difficult for me at first to think about a mother not being able to watch her child grow up. It was very difficult.
Chelsea Art is studying anthropology at Baylor University. She worked with Lori Baker at a cemetery about 100 kilometers north of the border. Hundreds of bodies have been found there over the years. Not many people live in the area. Immigrants are often extremely tired and in great need of water by the time they arrive. Ms. Art says working in the heat gave her some idea, however small, of how terrible it must be for an immigrant to be out in the open without any support.
The latest Global Hunger Index report estimates 2 billion people worldwide suffer from hidden hunger. People who suffer from hidden hunger have enough to eat, but the quality of their food is low. The report warns that food quality is just as important as quantity. The index is published yearly by the International Food Policy Research Institute and 2 other groups. It records levels of hunger in 120 developing countries and in countries that are changing. It lists the countries by the percentage of the population who do not get enough food, children younger than 5 years old who weigh less than they should, and the death rate of children under 5. The report says 10 of the 14 countries with the worst scores are located south of the Saharan Desert in Africa. That is also where the 2 countries with the worst scores, Burundi and Eritrea, are. The report says rates of hunger and death there is, in its words, extremely alarming. The report says more than 60% of the people of Burundi and Eritrea are undernourished, and Angola, Chad, and Sierra Leone have the highest rates of children under 5 dying. But the news was not all bad. The report said the number of children under age 5 who die in sub-Saharan Africa has dropped since 2000, probably because of a decrease in malaria rates and increasing income. And several Southeast Asian and South Asian countries had much higher scores than they had in 1990, including Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, and Bangladesh. Vietnam's score has dropped more than 75% since 1990. The number of underweight children in Vietnam has dropped sharply, and it has cut in half the number of children under 5 who die. Shengen Phan is IFPRI's Director General. He says eating low-quality food can hurt people as much as not getting enough food.
Hidden hunger is very different from the so-called visible hunger or undernourishment. Hidden hunger really means lack of micronutrients or vitamins in a person's diet, which can cause long-term chronic damage to their mental and their physical health. And this is particularly severe for children and their mothers.
That's our program for today. I hope it has helped you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Cruz. I'll be back tomorrow at this same time with another edition of As It Is, here on the Voice of America.
The Agriculture Report is next, followed by Science in the News. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Agriculture Report. A new study says the speed and severity of climate change could cause major damage to small African farms. These farmers are already struggling to deal with the effects of climate change. The study was released at the African Green Revolution Forum in Addis Ababa last month. It is called the 2014 African Agriculture Status Report. David Safo Amayau was a lead producer of the report. He is a director at AGRA, the Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa.
Small-scale farmers are the backbone of African agriculture. About 70% of the rural population in sub-Saharan Africa are small-scale farmers. They produce about 80% of the food need in Africa.
Small-scale farmers grow most of the staple crops in Africa on fields that are usually from 2 to 10 hectares. Small-scale farmers in Africa are much less productive than those in other continents. In African countries, farmers produce about 1.5 tons of cereal from each hectare. Farmers in many other countries produce more than 5 tons per hectare. Mr. Amayau says there are several reasons for this difference.
About 90% of these farms are rain-fed, which means that they depend on the weather. Whether it's rainfall, whether it's drought, whether it's increase in temperature, they are exposed to climate effects than any other part of the world. On top of that, most of them use their own labor or family labor. They are not mechanized.
The AGRA report says farmers in sub-Saharan Africa are also dealing with rising temperatures.
It is being projected that within the next 35 years, the increase in temperature will be between 1.5 to 2.5 degrees. This major rise in temperature brings a lot of issues to African food security. It is going to affect reduction in yield, which is already low, increase in vulnerability to pests and diseases that will kill most of the livestock.
Climate change is also expected to affect the average length of the growing season. This could continue to reduce the already low amount of crops that come from each hectare. Mr. Amayau says experts are urging African farmers to reduce the effects of climate change with a program called Climate Smart Agriculture. The program includes ways to improve and care for soil.
We are talking about farmers being able to adapt both organic and inorganic nutrient-enriching technology to improve their soil fertility. Things that we promote are the right use of inorganic and organic fertilizer, soil tillage, the right use of cultivating the land, putting things like legumes and cereals together to increase the soil nutrient content.
Mr. Amayau says there is a great possibility for agricultural growth in Africa led by small-scale farmers. I'm Katie Weaver.
From VOA Learning English, this is Science in the News. I'm Faith Lapidus.
and I'm Mario Ritter. Today, we tell about herbs and spices and some of their many uses.
People have been using herbs and spices for thousands of years. Generally, herbs come from the green leaves of plants or vegetables. Spices come from other parts of plants and trees. Some herbs and spices are valued for their taste. They help to sharpen the taste of many foods. Others are chosen for their smell. Still others were used traditionally for health reasons.
When people think of improving their diet, they often talk about eating more fruits and vegetables. Others want to eat more fish and less red meat, in addition to reducing the amount of food they eat. But they can improve their diets even more with just a simple addition. American researchers have found that a diet rich in spices can help reduce the harmful effects of eating high-fat meals. Researchers at Pennsylvania State University reported the findings. Penn State Associate Professor Sheila West led an investigation of the health effects of a spice-rich diet. Her team knew that a high-fat meal produces high levels of triglycerides, a kind of fat in the blood. She said, "If this happens too frequently, or if triglyceride levels are raised too much, your risk of heart disease is increased." We found that adding spices to a high-fat meal reduced triglyceride response by about 30% compared to a similar meal with no spices added.
As part of the study, her team prepared meals on two separate days for six men between the ages of 30 and 65. The men were overweight but healthy. The researchers added about 30 milliliters of spices to each serving of the test meal, which included chicken curry, Italian herb bread, and a cinnamon biscuit. The meal for the control group was the same, but it did not include any spices. Ann Skoulis Ray also served on the research team. She said the team used paprika, rosemary, oregano, cinnamon, turmeric, black pepper, cloves, and garlic powder. She said these spices were chosen because they had demonstrated strong antioxidant activity under controlled conditions in a laboratory. During the experiment, the researchers removed blood from the men every 30 minutes for 3 hours. They found that antioxidant activity in the blood of the men who ate the spicy meal was 13% higher than it was for the men who did not. In addition, insulin activity dropped by about 20% in the men who ate the spicy food.
Sheila West says many scientists think that oxidative stress leads to heart disease, arthritis, and diabetes. And what exactly is oxidative stress? Think of an apple that has been cut in half and set aside for half an hour or so. The cut side of the apple turns brown. That is a simple explanation of what happens when oxidative stress comes in contact with the inside and outside of our bodies. Professor West says antioxidants, like spices, may be important in reducing oxidative stress and thus reducing the risk of chronic disease. She adds that the level of spices used in the study provided the same amount of antioxidants found in 150 milliliters of red wine, or about 38 grams of dark chocolate.
Other scientists are helping to uncover the secrets of spices and herbs. For example, Purdue University researchers in Indiana say red pepper may help people lose weight. They say this could be especially true for people who do not usually add peppers to their food. The researchers reported on the effects of dried and ground cayenne red pepper in the journal Physiology and Behavior in 2011. They found that small changes in diet, like adding the pepper, may reduce the desire to eat. Most chili peppers contain capsaicin, a substance that makes chili peppers taste hot and spicy. Other studies have shown that capsaicin can reduce hunger and burn calories, the energy stored in food.
25 people of normal weight took part in the study, which lasted 6 weeks. 13 of them liked spicy food. The 12 others did not. The researchers decided how much red pepper each group would receive. 1 8/10 grams of the pepper was given to each person who liked spicy food. The others received 3/10 of a gram. The people who did not normally eat red pepper showed a decreased desire for food. That was especially true for fatty, salty, and sweet foods. Purdue University professor Richard Mattis said the effect may be true only for people who do not usually eat red pepper. He said the effectiveness of the pepper may be lost if spices are normally part of a person's diet, and that more studies must be done.
Other research shows that capsaicin helps suppress the buildup of body fat. A study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition found that capsaicin may help to reduce abdominal fat. Study organizers said the reduction possibly takes place because the spice changes some proteins found in fat, causing them to break down the fat. Scientists have become so interested in the health value of spices that recent discoveries are helping to move spices from traditional medicine into real science. Researchers in Virginia discovered that curcumin, a substance found in turmeric, stopped the Rift Valley fever virus from reproducing in infected cells. The sometimes deadly virus is carried by mosquitoes. It can affect human beings and some farm animals like cattle and goats.
Arthi Narayanan is an assistant professor at George Mason University in Virginia. She was the lead investigator in a study of curcumin last year. She says her team of researchers found the spice may interfere with the way some viruses cause human cells to stop reacting to an infection. She hopes the team can discover drug treatments to defeat several kinds of viruses. And, she says, it is possible curcumin will be part of those cures. A study published in the Journal of Biological Chemistry found that curcumin improves the effectiveness of chemotherapy in breast cancer patients. And it has possibilities for development into a drug that can help with chemotherapy.
Turmeric comes from a tropical plant common to India. Scientists have been examining its medical possibilities for many years. Studies show that turmeric's qualities may help protect against damage to the body's tissues and other injuries. Researchers also said turmeric may reduce evidence of damage in the brains of patients with mild or moderate Alzheimer's disease. For this reason, the researchers designed a study that examined results from a mental performance test of older Asian adults. The study involved curry, which contains turmeric. The adults tested were 60 to 93 years old. Those who sometimes ate curry did better on the tests than individuals who rarely or never ate curry. This was also true of those who ate it often or very often.
One spice that often is at the top of a healthy spices list is cinnamon. It comes from the inner bark of several trees and is used in both sweet and savory cooking. For centuries, cinnamon has been used in traditional medicine. Now, it is earning respect in the medical field. German researchers found that cinnamon can reduce blood sugar by 10%. They were not sure why, but said it could be that substances in cinnamon activate enzymes that excite insulin receptors. Research also shows the spice can help lower levels of cholesterol and triglycerides, blood fats that may cause diabetes. Registered dietitian Wendy Bazillion says spices are being considered more seriously because the added taste they bring helps people reduce the salt, fat, and sugar in their cooking. She has written a book called The Superfoods RX Diet on how people can lose weight by basing their diet on what she calls super nutrients. She says she likes oregano, for example, because she considers it a mini salad. She says 1 teaspoon has as much antioxidant power as 3 cups of chopped broccoli. But, she says, do not get rid of the broccoli. Instead, eat both. Herbs and spices are not used just to lessen unwanted chemical effects. They make food taste better. Some spices also destroy bacteria. Spices have long been used to keep food safe to eat. Spices have influenced world history.
This Science in the News program was written by Milagro Sardin. Our producer was June Sims. I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Mario Ritter. Join us again next week for more news about science on The Voice of America.